Merry Christmas, everyone. May the peace of the Lord be with you in all ways, filling your heart, your life, your soul, and everyone you love with joy and gladness for all the meanings that this day brings. I will have a Christmas message for you today, but I also know that you are the message. And let's remember that. And let's open our hearts to sharing and contributing and celebrating together as a community. Because I really, in all of my research, in all of my studies of the history of Christianity, I really do believe that God's gift is what this day is about. Not so much the physical birth of the great soul we call Yeshua, or many Jesus, or Jesus. There are many, many names for this same great person. His birth name, which Joseph was told to give him on his birthday, and there are many, many studies on when that birthday could have been. I have my own favorite that I believe is the most plausible, but we'll discuss that a little later as we move closer to Easter. But he was told to call him Yehoshua ben Joseph, Yehoshua son of Joseph, and shortened, just as we do, we shorten names, William to Bill, Robert to Bob. The short version of Yehoshua was Yeshua, or Yeshua. There's a little bit of debate over whether it translates better with a Y or a J, but that's just a matter of semantics. The sound is the same, whether it's a Y or a J, it's Yehoshua and Yeshua. I love to say his name. It's a wonderful sound coming out of my mouth. And I love, even more than that, the person the name calls forth. And yet today, on as we move toward Christmas Day, we are really stunned, inspired, and staggered by the number of gifts that God has given us on this day. Greatest among them is that the apostles, well, not the apostles, but the later apostles, the second and third generation, fourth generation of apostles, saw fit to celebrate Yeshua's birthday today, knowing most likely it was not the day of his birth, but they celebrated it today, and I have some thoughts on that, on why. This is not just, as so many people who are battered by a cynical world believe, just an opportunity to celebrate a misguided holiday that has been exploited materialistically. No, there really was a reason that the early evangelist and the early church and the early body of Christ chose to place his birthday on the 25th of December. But I would love to take some calls from the community, because this is a time when we come together, we share our heart, the gifts of our heart, with one another. So we have we have a caller from area code 321, and oh, by the way, for the rest of you, star 6 and then press 1 to enter the call. Please don't wait too late. I feel so bad when I run out of time to handle everybody who tries to sign into the board. So don't wait till you're inspired by what I have to say, because we're usually near the end of the call by that time. So we're going to take area code 321, and you're on.
Hi, it's Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Hey. I was just counting my blessings, and from what I've received from Yeshua and from Spiritus. And one thing for sure is that I find that I'm able to have a sense of being able to flourish, you know, when I interact with, like, I get to talk with Chris and others, and it's kind of a feeling of being able to be open Mm-hmm. And which and being able to flourish, which isn't something I ordinarily experience, in mundane life. It's sort of a beautiful new type of experience for my soul. And there's even a proverb I think of, if you see things Heavenly Father's way, one of the blessings you get is to commune with Lady Wisdom, it says.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that is right. That's right.
And that's what it feels like when, mm-hmm. when I get to call.
And guess what? It expands. Right now, you may feel that mostly with your friends and your peer group and the people that you trust with your most personal thoughts of spirituality. But it will come to be a way of life for you, Scott, to where your cup will run over. And you may not speak all your words of wisdom to everyone, but all the words you speak will have more wisdom and more joy, and people will want to speak with you more. And it grows. It's like, let's put it this way, today's seed is tomorrow's flower.
I feel like a winner.
You are. Anyone who calls Yeshua their friend is a winner.
I even am able to be more positive or say thank you even for times in life that seemed more like being assayed somewhat, more like in a crucible. I'm even grateful for that because I get to be here.
Yes. I so understand, so agree. And thank you for sharing that. That in itself is a Christmas gift. Thank you. We're going to take a call from area code 8. Oh, it's Vanessa. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, this is Debbie.
Oh, Debbie, okay.
Hi. I wanted to ask to keep my family in the blessings. He's had a great loss, a 19-year-old cousin who was killed getting to an airport to come home for the holidays. And we have a nice storm here in Vermont, so we were turned around, and today's the service. So for Hazen. And Hazen's mother and father, Penny and Barry Shonio, and her sister, Hannah, and my whole family, and all of her friends. We need your blessings.
Oh, Debbie, I received your email, and I have had your friends on my prayer list all week.
Hey.
Yes, our heart goes out to you, and, oh, what a devastating time this is. And I am so sorry for your loss. So sorry for your loss. But we also want to remember to celebrate the lives of those who were taken and those who've been injured. Because it's so easy to focus upon our loss and our hurt and forget to celebrate the life that was lived. And I don't want to say the life that was taken, because lives never end. They just move elsewhere. And we know that for a young, lovely young woman, it will only be upward. And the connection will only grow deeper in the soul as you live past this really, really terrible, tragic event. So we remember you in our hearts and our prayers. And thank you for allowing other people to know that.
Thank you, Glenda.
You're welcome. And we have a caller from area code 858. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Dr. David Kamnitzer.
David, it's a pleasure to hear from you.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to say to you and to say to everybody, happy holidays, and that I'm so grateful for you, Glenda, and for your dedication to share Yeshua as fully as you have over the years. I go back and I reread Love Without End and Keys of Yeshua periodically, and I'm in the middle of one of my Love Without End readings, and the title is so accurate because every time I read it, it's like it's a brand new book. It's so alive, it's so dynamic, and I can't imagine what my life and my students' lives and my patients' lives, I can't imagine what it would be like without having the blessings of the books that you've brought through. And it's really on my heart to thank you for that. And then the other thing I wanted to share is that I know that there are many people that are having a lot of challenges right now, either themselves or someone who's very close to them, either friends or family. And I know a lot of people are leaving the planet now as well. I think we're all dealing with people either close to us who have passed over or friends of ours who have people that are close. And it's really a time for faith and for consciousness and for family and community. I think there's one thing that I'm getting more clearly than ever is that the people that are going to be thriving next year and in the years that follow are the people that have learned how to be a responsible member of a functional community. And I think, Glenda, what you're seeding here is very important. And it's just great to touch base. And I think the last thing I wanted to share is another thing I'm grateful for in my life is my younger son, who's 22, is going through some challenging times right now in terms of his mental and emotional balance. He's a very sensitive young man, and he has an older brother who's 25 who temperamentally is very different from him. He's more of a stable, even keel kind of guy. But he loves his brother very much, and it's just so moving for me to see my older son like an angel reaching out to my younger son to help him during this time. Excuse me. And it's just an example for me just to remember that that the angels are everywhere if we will just look and be open. So that's what I wanted to share with you guys today.
Well, you have really set up the message so beautifully. I remember when we did a seminar together, you were always so good about setting me up for what I needed to say. Yeah. You have an empathy about you, David, and a sense of perhaps even prophecy about you that I love working with. And thank you for your comments. I agree. If I had 1,000 years to speak about the blessings and the teachings of Yeshua, it would not be enough. I hope he gives me many years to speak because I feel like I've only just begun. And here's a question I'd like to offer the community, and you could just let me know. How would you like to have more books written this year? So just, I know your answer is yes. I'd love to hear from the community. Write me a note and say yes. And if yes, in what way, on what topic? I know that Yeshua has promised me this year will be a year in which we write together again. So I'd love to hear from all of you because we are a community. And I'm going to connect into my message after I take one more caller, David, because I'd like to just roll with it once I get into it. But here, so I'm going to take, we have someone from area code 970, and you're on. Hi. Hello. You may have to unmute your own telephone.
There we go.
Okay.
Hi. it's Cynthia, and I just, David has said so much that he was speaking to, and I was just bringing up where so much clarity has come through at this time, and being with you and Spiritus and Yeshua, and the innocent perception that has just brought so much freedom to open our hearts to receive all that is being brought to the world. And I'm so grateful and thankful, and I just wish everyone a wonderful, beautiful, happy holiday and Merry Christmas to all. So,
oh, thank you so much, Cynthia. We really appreciate that. You know, and I wish we were together. We'd sing a carol together. But we're not quite at that level of technology yet, so so we'll just have to sing in our hearts. And we have one other person on area code 413. Hi, you're on.
Hi, Glenda, this is Heidi.
Heidi, hello.
Hi, what a joy to hear your voice. Thank you so much for everything you do to all of us. I was so excited about your subject that I thought with the beauty of what was just shared, too, that I know I can email this too, but I read from the Essenes daily book. I guess it's this, is it the sect of Judaism that Jesus was born into? It's this, anyway, they had this beautiful writing on the solstice and the, and, you know, our facing our shadow side or anything that maybe we would perceive as negative and healing it, like you've talked of too, it letting it be an opportunity to heal. And I so have always wished there was a book written just exactly from Jesus's perspective on healing trauma and transforming things like that, to bring to the most wounded part what I can get in that place that isn't wounded, you know, where I could bridge from the Sacred Heart to that other place that's so broken it doesn't almost even feel connected to that other. But just in the light of the solstice and the sun coming back and the promise of Yeshua, I just thought, in case anything gets woven into the message today, I would pipe that up. But I'm so excited about your writing, and I know that he'll be able to address things that we're all looking answers for. So yay for you.
Oh, good, good. Well, I'll tell you how it started. It's kind of funny. I have a long list of webinars that I have given, and many people have enrolled after the live webinar to take an at-home study course, and it has benefited many lives that I've done that. But it's not. But many of those courses are so valuable, and they're not quite reaching enough people. People who don't have enough time in their lives to sit down and take a four-week webinar. And so I took a few of them, and I thought, you know, I think these should be turned into a book. But I'm going to need an editor. And, of course, I have a friend, Nancy French, who has worked as an editor on all my other books, and I plan to call Nancy and see if Nancy would like to do this. But I felt like I needed more. I said, no, I need more. And all of a sudden, I heard Yeshua say, would you like me for an editor? And I laughed. I couldn't do anything but laugh. And I said, are you ready to write with me again?
So exciting.
So I can tell you that it will be a combination of some of those subjects expanded with a dialogue to the teacher.
Oh, that just is like breath, you know, like breath of fresh air into like the stale closet, just cleansing, just to even know it's coming. It's just so exciting.
Oh, it will be coming this year, and I'm looking forward to hearing everyone's response on, see, I already have yours. You ask about healing in the dark places of the soul. You know, everybody knows how to heal what they can see. Well, maybe we don't know how, but we know how to find someone who does.
Yeah.
But what about the places we can't see?
Yeah, those associated places, yeah.
Exactly. And that, again, is bringing me to the message I want to share today. And I'm just going to take one more caller, then I'm moving into my message. Hi, Janet. Janet, you're on, but you may have to unmute your own phone.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay. I just wanted to share something quick. For years, the last of the lyrics of It Came Upon a Midnight Clear has just been so powerful and beautiful to me. And when you mentioned if we could all sing a Christmas carol, I looked up the entire lyrics 1 year and even emailed them to some friends. They were so beautiful. But the last line of that song, now I may not have it exactly word for word, but it's, "And the whole world give back the song that now the angels sing."
Oh, yes, how perfect. How perfect. Well, you know, that would be a good closing line before we go into our blessing. But I'm gonna offer a little bit of a message first. So thank you, Janet, and Merry Christmas to you.
You too. Thank you.
And what I would really most like to say today is that Christmas is God's Christmas gift to us. It doesn't matter that it was most likely not the birthday of Yeshua. It was an ancient, ancient, ancient celebration, one of the most ancient on the earth. And I'm not going to use, and I really recommend that you do not use, the word pagan, because it's a derogatory, profiling kind of word. The fact is, we all have ancestors that went back 10,000 years. And what I'm about to say pertains to our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, no matter what race, what geographical location our DNA has traveled along, our ancestors found the most potent day of the year for building community. Not necessarily spirituality, but community, to be the winter solstice. And there's a very good reason. Well, there are actually a number of very good reasons. One is that it was the time of the year when we needed community the most, because following the winter solstice would be the hardest months of the year, the months in which we all needed each other the most. And it was a time to bring together all of the great harvest from the fall for community sharing. And so it was a season of humans giving gifts to one another. It's been this way since time immemorial. It wasn't always a spiritual holiday, but it was always a significant holiday of community celebration and unity and support and charity, of hope, of goodwill. And it was a season in which they believed that God's greatest gift to the earth was light. Without light, let's face it, without light, our planet would die almost instantly. It depends upon light for the most basic form of life. It depends on light for our whole electromagnetic field to be activated. Light is essential for all things on this earth. It's the base, it's the common denominator by which all physical things are united. And it took millennia for a man to come along named Albert Einstein to expose the fact that light is the constant in the measuring of all things, and that all things are essentially derived from light. So when the sun was at its furthest distance, they marked the day when it turned around. That brought hope. It brought unity, and people knew if they just bonded together and shared their goods and their help and their love and their healing long enough, just a few months, everyone could make it. But now, there's something else about that. You see, Yeshua brought to this world a very pragmatic form of religion, spirituality, faith. It was not a highly mystical faith. It didn't have mysteries to it, other than the ultimate mystery of God and the Holy Spirit, but he didn't flaunt mysterious elite ideas. Everything for him was pragmatic. And he taught his apostles to be pragmatists. He sent them out to the world to relate to people as they were, to bring them the good news and to bring them love, to bring them light, and to bring them hope as they were. And so the apostles, being pragmatists, used the holidays that people were already celebrating to convey their messages. And they would say things like, God has returned the light to the world. Let us celebrate that now. Also, early Christians were extremely persecuted. We don't know the half of what they went through. Extremely persecuted. And so they would use the winter season as a way of instructing them that though the winter is harsh, on the other side is spring. So they would use this season and the bonding and the social bonding to say, in your strength, as the body of Christ, we will be brought into the fullness of new birth, a new season of planting, a new season of harvesting. These are not the exact words, but it's a very good parallel to what was said many, many times. All of this was begun in the early years of Christianity. And so, yes, whether or not this was his birthday, this is a Christian celebration now, because it so exemplifies the highest and the best that Yeshua brought to our earth, and that is, it's for everybody. It is for everybody. It is God's gift of light, of love, of hope, and community. And the last thing I want to highlight as part of this message is that inside of us is something that I'm finding strangely and almost ironically unattended to in most people. Now, I say strangely and ironically because you would not think that this was being unattended to. But inside each one of us is what I would call a social center. That is a place within us that cannot live without others. We are essentially social beings. First of all, we need a relationship to our Creator. And it needs to be not just a worshipful relationship in the sense of going to some great monument and seeing a figure of some great deity and we go to our knees. No, no, that's not going to heal you. Now, I won't say that's wrong to people who believe in it. I'm not going to judge, but I do know that's not what Yeshua taught. He taught that it needs to be a personal relationship in which you fall in love with God and you realize how much God is in love with you. It's a social relationship of the highest order. It's a relationship which has language and communication with it and heart-centered dialogue and communion in which you and God are partnering in your life. He taught us to love one another as ourself. That what he was doing was actually triggering this social center. It's deep within our heart. And now the reason I said ironically is because we have a lot of enforced socialness. A lot of our socialness is facilitated externally by those who require that we show up for work, by those who try to manage our life, by the whole field of social politics, by the whole field of social integration and school and traffic laws, the way we drive on highways, and we watch TV, and we watch movies, and, okay, we go out to dinner. We're getting ready to have a feast with our family, our friends. And there'll be a lot of people there, or maybe we'll go out for our dinner, but there'll be people. And we think that being around people is social. It doesn't, actually, it's a surrogate. It's a substitute for truly activating this social center. Now, St. Paul addressed this social center. He said, confess your sins to one another and also your joys and your hopes. In other words, he said, live in community with one another. We used to have this in families that were strong. Families would sit around the dinner table. Families would come together for family reunions or special holidays, and it really meant something. It really meant coming together. Neighbors would do barbecues together. We would have friends and good friends of the community go to the town park and do perhaps caroling or lighting a Christmas tree. And it really meant something to come together. For so many people, this is what church meant. This is what going to church meant. They didn't even care about the doctrine. Do you know, probably 50 years ago when everybody in this country went to church almost every Sunday, most people couldn't tell you what their church believed in, but they knew what it meant to them, and it meant this is a time when I go and be with my community, where I'm with people with whom I share a heart. And so I want to give you the gift of this community. We are planting a seed for a great community. And when you pray, pray not just for yourself or those you know immediately. Pray for those you see to be in your community. Pray for those who have reached for you. Pray for those you would reach for. Allow prayer to be the basis for building a great community within yourself, so that not only is community an external thing, it's an internal thing. As you bring community into yourself, you will grow in wisdom, you will grow in compassion, you will grow in empathy, in understanding, you will grow in prophecy, you will grow in richness, and you will grow in a sense of your place in the outside community, because community also lives inside you. And I really believe this is one of the great teachings that the apostles chose to adapt into Christianity from what people all over the world did at this time of the year. They built this sense of community. And that sense of community, not only externally, but internally, would carry them through the winter months, would carry them through periods of persecution or poverty or poor health. And one of the things I have noticed in the years of doing this work is that when I create inner community where I am the people I love, I pray with the people I love, I am the things I want, I am the creations I create. So the community is not just out there in an unreachable extension of myself, but in myself, all the dark places of my soul light up. I cannot hide a dark place from those I bring inside me. And as all the dark places light up, whether it's bacteria or just a little secret I feel uncomfortable about sharing, as all the dark places light up, I find strength, I find healing, I find hope, and I find love. And it's all done. I think that one of the reasons we find ourselves so alone And so in a dialogue, an external dialogue with community, is we see it out there. And then we see ourselves as a singular, isolated entity. Now, this is not to take away in any part your rare and pure individuality, your personal sovereignty, because that is one of the assurances given to you by God. You were created to be an individual soul, to be a unique person, and your personhood will always be honored. But as you bring community inside yourself, you end separation. You bring the strength of community inside yourself. And see, I think this message is very, very important today, because so many of us don't have the kind of Walton family or, you know, the old-fashioned families of the old days where we celebrated with those who knew us inside out and we knew them inside out. We need to remember to bring the community within and allow that to be a gift of the community, to go with the gift of God. And my gift to you is I love you, and I am so glad to be with you and to be part of your life, and I hope you will hold me also as part of your inner community. Now, with that being said, let us get ready for our blessing, and let us send a joyful song to the heavens and sing with the angels in praise of all. Sorry. Now we're fine. I want us to have a silent background. And I think maybe in your heart, sing your favorite carol. For some, it might be Silent Night. For some, maybe Hark the Herald Angels Sing or Joy to the World. Sing in your heart a song that you associate with this time of year and the joy that brings us together and what fills our heart with love, memories of all those who have been with us, and those who have lost loved ones. Remember, they will always be and can always live in the community of your heart. And this is one of the great, great rewards of building community inside you, building community in your heart. Everyone you have ever loved still lives there. They are timeless members of the community of your heart. And we send our joy and our prayers to everyone in your heart. And we offer the blessings of Yeshua to everyone in your heart. And as you give it to the community members in your heart, you give it to the whole community that has not yet entered your heart, but that you seek to share a more blessed life with. Now I will begin my prayer to Yeshua, and I ask that you just be seated, feet on the ground, head toward heaven, your head uncovered, your feet uncovered if possible, so that you may access the wonderful magnetic flow of energy from our beautiful, blessed Mother Earth. Dear Yeshua, we thank you for the gift of this day, for the meaning this day brings, the richness it brings, the prosperity of the heart that it can bring, the joy, the giving, the receiving, the love of all that is meant through our life. And let us be ready now on the threshold of Christmas to open our heart to all of its many joyous meanings, knowing that it will mean something to everyone in our life, different meanings allowed. And yet we thank you for bringing all of these traditions into unity, and only you could have done that. All the many traditions that predated your life on earth were separate until through the body of Christ they were brought into a unified meaning. Let us receive that gift as a gift of light, as a gift of love, and a gift of community for our worldwide. Thank you for all the gifts of your life. And thank you for being with us today and guiding us into the healing place of our heart and soul. Amen. Blessing givers, join me if you will. The energetic conveyance of your blessing has been given. Now I would ask that you go and rest for at least 7 minutes, perhaps longer. It's okay if you fall asleep. Enjoy the blessings. And Merry Christmas.